This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
We'll talk about loser mentality tonight. We'll talk about the border. We'll give an update on a heartbreaking bankruptcy. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. I talk about the low-T GOP a lot, and it's part tongue-in-cheek, part true, but let's make that a little less tongue-in-cheek, and let's expand that to all of us. Probably not going to apply to you or me, but the right as a whole. Let's talk about mentality, loser mentality, winner mentality. And I'm going to tell you a quick story here before we get on to the modern politics of the day. Don't worry, I'm going somewhere with this. Just stay with me. So I grew up playing sports. I was terrible at all of them. Don't get me wrong. I was not an athlete, but baseball, basketball, my whole life, I was always playing sports. And because I played for so many years, I had a chance to be part of some winning teams. I was never a big part of that, by the way, but some real great teams. And here's the thing about winning. It's crazy. But when you're on a winning team, you just win a lot. You're always out there winning. You develop a winning mentality. And here's what happens. You show up at practice. You prepare like you're gonna win. And you're going hard because you think we're gonna win. I gotta keep grinding, we're gonna win. You talk with your friends, with your team, with your coach, as if we're planning on winning. No, we're gonna do this and it's gonna work. We're gonna do that and it's gonna work. When you get in the game, even when you're down, down 10 in the fourth quarter, you're used to winning. You think you're going to win. We're going to come back. We're going to figure this out. It becomes a habit. Winning becomes habitual. And you know what winning looks like and what it doesn't look like. And conversely, for the human mind, losing is the exact same way because I was not only part of winning teams, I was part of losing teams as well. This is all going to come back to the right today. Just stay with me. I remember a team I was on. I will not go into the details of it. And we were unspeakably awful. In fact, that was my final year of playing basketball. That's how miserable the year was. We were dreadful. We would get blown out by 20 or 30 every game. And you know how I was talking about the habit of winning? The exact same thing happens with losing. We'd be in practice. Started to get a little less serious. Right? I mean, I know we could do some free throw drills, but what difference does it make? We're going to lose, right? When you're going into the game, you're in the locker room beforehand. Oh, man, I wonder how bad we're going to get blown out today. If you're in the game, even if you happen to be winning, not going to last. We'll blow it. You develop a loser mentality. And I remember this. We went to a game, and we lost by 10 points. We lost the game, and not even on a nail-biter, 10 points. And we celebrated in the locker room. This is towards the end of the season. How pathetic is that? Celebrated a loss? But we had developed a loser mentality. You do something long enough, you win long enough, you lose long enough, you develop a mentality for it. And let me explain something about being on the right. I'm 42 years old. For 42 years, the entire 42 years of my existence in the United States of America, the culture of this nation, the debt situation, everything has only shifted left. Oh, I know we've won an election here or there. We've slowed down the left-wing lurch on occasion. You get this win, you get that win. But government has only grown. Debt has only grown. Freedom has only gone downhill. Inflation has only gotten worse. The border has only gotten more open. Culturally, do I need to remind everybody that every major Democrat a decade ago was vocally against gay marriage? Now, it's tranny madness, which we'll get into later on in the show. It's only moved to the left. And so here's what has happened after so many years of that, decade after decade after decade, losing, 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 losing. Now, the right doesn't even understand what winning is. They don't understand what fighting back is. They genuinely do not. We played this for you last night when we were getting ready to introduce Julie Kelly. But I'm going to play this Mike Johnson clip for you again because it's just maybe the best example of the right wing, the GOP mentality and the mentality we've developed. Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House. I understand the majority is slim, but just so everyone understands, that's number three If, God forbid, something happened to Joe Biden and Dome, their plane goes down or something, Mike Johnson assumes the office of the presidency. To be the Speaker of the House is unreal. The amount of power you have is unreal. You control the purse strings of the entirety of the government. Majorly powerful. Mike Johnson was asked about this ridiculous prosecution of Donald Trump. We're talking Soviet-style prosecution. That's what's happening to Donald Trump. I want you to listen to what Mike Johnson said.
With regard to defunding Jack Smith, look, I think that there's been a terrible dereliction of duty with regard to the special counsel and how that how the whole system has been abused, how they've engaged in lawfare against President Trump. I mean, all of these things are, to me, self-evident truths. But that's not something you wave a wand and just eliminate the special counsel as a provision. It's been part of the law, you know, the tradition and the law here since for 25 years.
So are you prepared then to stick this into appropriations bills to defund the special counsel?
No.
I want you to think about what he just said. The Speaker of the House is pointing at the special counsel and acknowledging it's absurd what's happening. It's criminal. It's awful. It's gutting the United States of America. The Speaker of the House has the power in his hands to actually do something about it. But that would be what winners do. Winners would take that power and use that power to stop their enemies. Mike Johnson doesn't even know what winning is. A loser would think that pointing out how bad he's being is somehow winning or fighting back. It's the equivalent of what the GOP is, what the right is, what the mentality we have developed is. It's the equivalent of me coming home from the studio, earpiece out, I come home, and I walk in, and there's a dude in my living room with a bag, and he's stuffing all my valuables in his bag. And instead of stopping him, shooting him, calling the cops, beating him up, I sit there at the door and I say, that is wrong. You should stop. Don't you see how wrong it is, guys? He's wrong. He's stealing. It's wrong. He's being wrong, guys. That's what the right is. I saw this video, and man, did it hit home for me. So we now have reached to a place of such insanity as a country that the idea that you can cut your penis off and become a woman, it's not some fringe idea. It is an idea that is ingrained in America's institutions now, that women can become men if they take enough hormones, that men can become women if they stuff a bra and put on lipstick. It's an idea so insane, it boggles the mind, and yet it's been institutionalized across the federal government, across America's corporations. It's nutballs, and it's not true at all. And so at Oregon, there's this tranny runner, and the tranny runner gets out there and runs in the woman's race. And of course, you know, it's a dude out there kicking the women around, and the people in the stands were booing, and I'll play it for you in a second. And everyone on the right, they loved it. Here it was. And it's not that the booing's a problem, but the problem was a video came out, I think it was yesterday. I saw everyone on the right loving it. Oh, yeah, look at it. The people are with us. Woo! Booing him. Woohoo! I bet I bet he feels so bad. Look at us. We're pushing back. The guy on the track, the dude, he's so twisted up here that he now pretends to be a woman at track meets so he can be more competitive. And you think he's going to be swayed by your booing? Oh, I've seen plenty of interviews afterwards, too. This is it's not right. Injustice. Okay. What are you doing about it? Any boycotts? Anyone? Nothing? No lawsuits? Still sending Aiden, Jaden, and Braden to school there? I mean, complaining the whole time, of course. We're booing. Booing is, pretty scary. But are we doing anything to hurt him? I'm talking about legally, not don't do anything illegal, but are we doing anything to cause the communist fear or pain? Anything. I promise you, booing doesn't do it. Pointing out the things that he's doing wrong doesn't do it. Are we doing anything? No, we're not. But complaining, it's what the right is now. We point out problems. Look at their hypocrisy. Look how evil they're being. Oh, look at these norms they're violating. Oh, this is too far. Oh, you really opened Pandora's box. Oh, this is outrageous. Okay, that's pointing. That's complaining. It's not doing anything. The right, they're not even in the game. They're in the stands. They're in the stands, and they think they're in the game. That's the most amazing part. Oh, I can't believe he dropped that pass. What's he doing? Hey, honey, grab me some nachos. What's he doing? I can't believe he dropped that pass. And we think we're one of the players. We're not even playing the game. There's a middle school in Colorado where students are now required to take a class learning how to be tranny activists.
Day of Silence is an annual day of action organized by GLSEN to spread awareness about the effects of bullying and harassment of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning students. Now it's more important than ever to raise our voices because of the laws that are being passed. The Senate has passed multiple laws that are hurting queer youth. Over half the states in the USA have banned trans youth access to healthcare. So what can we do to end the silence? We can support queer projects and others we know who identify with the community. We can also spread awareness. That's all for Day of Silence. Back to the day.
What are we doing about it? Is there a mass boycott? Are parents walking out? Are parents, more importantly, are they digging in, gathering up an army, running for school board to run all those rainbow nutballs off there? Or are we complaining about it? We have got to get out of the stands and get in the game and start hitting back, or we're not going to win. We have got to dump this loser mentality we've developed over the decades and develop a mentality of winning, of conquest. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk culture war stuff in just a moment. Before we get to culture war stuff, this is why we talk about the corporate world and the importance of it, the importance of where we spend, and more specifically, don't spend our money. It's so important. And look, we all love a cup of coffee or two. I'm a two cup a day guy. Where do you buy your coffee from? These big coffee companies, they're garbage. They hate you. They hate me. They hate our values. Blackout Coffee loves us. They promote the things we want promoted. What kind of a coffee company talks about life? Blackout Coffee does. About 20% off your first order, and they'll deliver it to your front door. BlackoutCoffee.com/Jesse. All right? We'll be back. Good God. Let's have a discussion about how people are okay or not okay. Joining me now, Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, and of course, Evita Duffy, Alfonso, managing producer of the Great Dan Bongino Show. Okay, Evita, we're going to start with you there. Apparently that's some kind of rage ritual retreat where you can spend $4,000 to go scream into the woods. Could you please explain to me how deep the levels of insanity are with liberal white women in this country?
It's a shocking video, but frankly, somebody who's just come out of a elite university who is surrounded by people like this all the time, it's actually not that surprising. This is what wokeism does to individuals, right? It's a movement that is supposed to disrupt the sexes, disrupt the family, disrupt every norm in our world, and it just destroys people internally. It's literally a mental illness, and you're seeing it manifest so bizarrely and frankly scarily in that video. And it's also, I think it's also interesting that they called it a ritual, right? Because oftentimes we hear these woke and liberated, enlightened individuals say that they're atheists, they're not Christian, they're not going to associate with that backward ideology, but they're actually really having their own ideology on its own after that, right? You're seeing this ritual, this paganism actually manifest out of so-called atheism. So they really are religious at their core. And it looks, if you can see from that video, to be very violent and very disturbed.
It does. Terry, this is a question that's obviously going to take some thought, so maybe I should have tossed it to Evita instead of you. But 18 to 29-year-old liberal women, according to Pew Research, 56% of them have been diagnosed with mental health issues. So I have a chicken or egg question. Is it being a liberal nutball white woman that draws you to communism, or is it, you know, switched? Is it the communism that turns you into a liberal nutjob white woman who needs anti-anxiety medications?
I think it's all of the above. I mean, my goodness, these people in this country, we've never been more medicated, we've never been more in therapy, and we've never been more insane, right? I think that these things are obviously exacerbating everything. I also think that the liberation of women, quote unquote, has not quite liberated them or given them fulfilled lives. These are incredibly miserable people. Right. And that is not what freedom typically does to people. Typically, when people get actual freedom, they are fulfilled. They're happy. They aren't screaming all together in the woods. Jesse, I don't know. I mean, a friend of mine says that, jet engines are complex. They're very rational and make a lot of logical sense. Lots of moving parts, though. But women, my friend, are complicated. It's very tough to understand what's going on here.
Evita, as you just pointed out, you just came from the belly of the beast surrounded by these nutballs. Why are they unhappy? Or I guess I should stress more, who are they unhappy with? Is it a self-hatred thing? Is it a man-hatred thing? Is it an America-hatred thing? What do they hate? Who do they hate and why?
Yeah, it's such a good question. They're not living healthy lifestyles, first of all. This started in the 1960s. It was sexual liberation, where they wanted women to act just like men. And you see on college campuses that hookup culture is pervasive. And it really destroys women internally. I think it makes them really sad. Women don't view sex in the same way that men do. And this idea that we should act the same as them, be the same as them when it comes to sex, be the same as them when it comes to the workplace or our goals, career-wise, family-wise, is a lie that really just creates so much internal turmoil in women, makes them unhappy. And instead of looking at their lifestyles, which were put on them by leftists, they instead blame the system, which is what the left has told them to do. This is why they act so vitriolic all the time at protests, when really they should be looking inward and at what their day-to-day lives, how their day-to-day lives are impacting their internal peace and happiness.
Terry, I am positive you saw it. In fact, because it's you, I'm positive you were cheering it. But Harrison Butker made some waves this week when this little video came out.
To the gentleman here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture. And when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy.
Terry, I don't understand what the controversy is. Please explain.
Well, you would think that the feminists and the woke progressives would be cheering the fact that Harrison Butker is essentially telling men to get back in the kitchen, Right. I mean, I read the speech. It's a fantastic speech. He calls on everyone to do better and to prioritize the higher goods. Right. And I think it's important that we start to distinguish between what the woke globalists want for men and women, which is androgyny, which is no family, which is no children, no marriages. They want good little obedient workers and consumers who buy their products, who are constantly chasing dopamine hits to fulfill their temporary happiness. Well, the reality is that mothers and fathers and their families have something that everyone else is lacking, which is joy, which is a more fulfilled version of happiness. You don't need to go to Disney World 7 times a year. You don't need to go on all these vacations. You don't need to do Saturday brunch when you're fulfilled, when you have joy in your household. And, you know, I think we'd all be better off if there were more fathers in the home and also more respect and veneration of mothers, because they do a lot of thankless and helpless tasks for us all.
Not sure what's wrong with Saturday brunch. Evita, what's wrong with Saturday brunch? It allows me to have a cheeseburger for breakfast while telling the wife that it's actually brunch so I can have a cheeseburger with some hash browns. Why does Terry have to crap all over brunch? What say you, Evita?
I don't know. I don't think brunch is so bad, but I do think that young people tend to spend a lot of money on things that they don't necessarily need to fill in that hole, to Terry's point.
Yeah, no, they do. All right. I want to talk about withholding money from Catholic hospitals. In fact, I want to expand on this a little bit more with you, Evita, about the war on all religion, but most especially war on Jesus in this country. Here's this video.
You've put out this guidance and doctors do need to know.
Yes.
What are you going to do if they refuse to provide this care?
A doctor, if that doctor has religious objections, that doctor, under these rules, is not required to offer the care.
Okay, so you're committing here today that you will not withhold federal funding.
Doctors don't get federal funding, ma'am.
But the hospitals do. That,
okay,
the
so now talk to
me
about the
hospitals. Are you saying that
don't confuse the two.
Okay.
A doctor is not a hospital.
But the doctors are working in these hospitals. Are you going to say today, are you committing that you will not withhold federal funding from those healthcare facilities?
If a healthcare facility is violating the law and not providing the service they're required to,
we
they are
knew
not entitled
that you
to the resources.
Withdraw federal funding.
Evita, what frustrates me is not that the dirty commies have declared war on Catholicism or Christianity like they always have. It's how neutered and useless the American church has been to fight back against this. It blows my mind how apathetic and frankly pathetic so much of the American church is. I can't stand it.
It should be so easy, right? I mean, it's not just an affront to God's plan for men and women. There's a study that just came out said adult transgender individuals who undergo surgery are 12 times more likely to commit suicide. So this line that, you know, a trans son is better than a, you know, dead daughter or vice versa. This is a lie. The surgery is bad for people mentally and physically. It's a no-brainer for church officials. It should be a no-brainer for Pope Francis. Instead of coming to the United States, doing a 60-minute interview and talking about how traditional Catholics are problematic or how the border, our U.S. borders need to be wide open, he could have defended the faithful, defended Catholic hospitals, defended those who are actually fighting the good fight in this country. And instead, he left us out to dry.
Yeah, he sure did. Terry, all right, I got to toss you the last one because it's such a daggone softball. The Pope is out there, dirty commie that he is, talking about open borders. Here he was.
I grew up in Texas, and I don't know if you've heard, but the state of Texas is attempting to shut down a Catholic charity on the border with Mexico that offers undocumented migrants humanitarian assistance. What do you think of that?
Una locura.
That is madness, sheer madness. To close the border and leave them there, that is madness. The migrant has to be received. Thereafter, you see how you're going to deal with them. Maybe you have to send him back. I don't know. But each case ought to be considered humanely.
Terry, what is it with these Christian and Catholic NGOs and leaders like the useless Pope who've decided it's very biblical and loving and Jesus-like to flood the country with rapists who will assault our women? Is that Christ-like, Terry?
No, it's not. And Evita actually had an amazing tweet either today or yesterday calling out the Vatican because they're guarded by a wall. They don't allow anyone to go in there. They don't have open immigration laws like they're calling for us. It's absolutely preposterous. And I think that the Pope should really stick to his lane, which is preventing the world from committing suicide through euthanasia, through gender and sterilization procedures, through abortion, and yes, through birth control. We are killing ourselves every single day. We are limiting our love and joy that Catholics can use to spread throughout the world. The Catholic Church has some amazing teachings. I mean, it's really a light in the darkness. And for him to focus his ire on those of us that Jesse, my ideology is Catholicism, right? If I have a conservative position and it's not within the Catholic Church's teachings, I don't hold it because I have to be Catholic. But it's absolutely preposterous to go after those practicing Catholics that hold true to the teachings of the Church, which actually have advanced human freedom and flourishing and prosperity more so than any other doctrine and ideology in the entire world.
It really does. Evita, best to you and yours. Terry, best to you, your bride, and your 97 kids. I appreciate you both. Please come back soon. All right. We have much more we need to get to before we get to those things. Let's talk about the timeshare that you think you're stuck in. It's a common lie because the timeshare industry, very sadly, this bums me out. The industry itself is based a lot on this lie. It's not every timeshare company, but it's most of them. So what's the lie? Well, they lock you in. They get you in the timeshare and you sign the contract. And they never tell you that you're in it for life. They never seem to just come out and say that. You don't find out. Year, 2 years, 10 years later, you're done with it. Tired of paying the annual fees and you try to get out. And that's when they drop the bomb on you. Sorry. You already signed a contract. You're stuck forever. Just call Lone Star Transfer. This family business with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, will legally and permanently get you out. You're a phone call away from being free. Get free of that godforsaken timeshare of yours. 844-310-2646. We'll be back. All right, so let's do something really quickly here because we have so much else we want to get to on the show. We have a bunch of, there's some border stuff we're going to get to next that is, it blew me away. Before we get to that. All right, so the announcement came today that Joe Biden, Biden administration is draining another million barrels of oil from our strategic reserve. We have strategic oil reserves all over the place. This one's actually in the Northeast, but we have strategic oil reserves. I just want to say it's wild how far from sanity we've drifted in this country, and now we don't even really understand what sanity looks like. The strategic oil reserve is for emergency purposes only. We're talking global conflict, disaster. That's why it's there. It is not there. So Joe Biden can lower gas prices temporarily to improve his chances in the election. He did this exact same thing leading up to the 2022 midterms. He thought he was going to get crushed in the midterms, so he drained our strategic oil reserve and never filled it up again. And you want to know how far away from sanity we are? You understand that the president taking our emergency oil reserves and draining them to win elections, that's not only impeachable, you could easily argue that that is treasonous and Joe Biden should spend the rest of his life in prison for doing something like that. You can't take the office of the presidency and weaken the nation itself so we can't even fight a war to improve your poll numbers. That's not something that should even occur to people to do. And let me ask you something. How much outrage have you seen over this today? Have you even seen somebody mention it today? That's how far away from sanity we've reached as a country that now we watch the president do something like that and we all just go, yeah, figures. We don't have enough fuel. We don't have the manufacturing capacity. We don't have enough ammunition or the ability to make ammunition. We have all this scary conflict going on right now across the globe. I hope you pray. And when you pray, I hope you pray that nothing bad kicks off, because the American people are going to find out that we are painted rust if something does. This is madness to me. All right, speaking of madness, I'm not even sure you really want to know what's happening with the Chinese military-aged men coming across the border. Do you want to know? It's something you haven't heard before. Are you ready for this? Before I give it to you, let me give you this. Let me give you a good night's sleep. I know there are a million things out there for sleep, right? You can go out in the pharmacy, you can get a prescription, you can do this, you can do that. I want to take this to sleep, I'm going to take this to sleep. What do all those things have in common? All of them. All of them, virtually. You'll sleep. There are plenty of things that will make you sleep. You will wake up and you will feel like garbage. Groggy, you're never able to wake up, sleep in your eye, freaking horrible. And then there's dream powder from Beam. This stuff, it's changed my life. It's all natural, right? There's not a bunch of garbage in it. It's melatonin, things like that. It's all natural. Tastes amazing. Warm up a little glass of milk or water, stir a little scoop of this in there. Mine's chocolate cinnamon. And it's just a little cup of hot chocolate. If you didn't know it was dream powder, you'd never know. And I just sip it as I'm laying in bed with the wife, watching something, reading something. And I just kind of drift off to sleep. And I wake up ready to go. No grog, no nothing. 8-9 hours later, you're just ready to go. 40% off. Go get some. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. You're welcome. We'll be back.
Very much, Mr. Chairman. We're here today because Republicans are demagoguing and exploiting the xenophobic and white supremacist ideologies that are fueling the immigration debate in this nation. And for those who are showing up at our border, I am concerned about how we as a nation are going to address what is basically a broken immigration system. People don't choose to leave their families and communities, their culture, their language on a whim.
Yeah. It's wild how much the hive mind controls these people, isn't it? Just xenophobic, white supremacists. They can't help themselves. They're just robots. They go up, they get programmed, and they take that programming out to the world. Joining me now, Brittany Mayer, independent reporter. She's also the founder of Rooted Wings. Brittany, they love to say this. We have a, quote, broken immigration system, but it is wild how different they interpret that than how we interpret that.
This is true. I watched the entire hearing. It was painful. I think a lot of people don't realize how broken our government is, if we're being honest. Our government is so busted that they can't even get through what was supposed to be a subcommittee hearing on this huge influx. In unprecedented influx of Chinese nationals pouring through our border. I'm stationed down here in San Diego, so we see it firsthand. And this subcommittee hearing, which was supposed to be serious, turned into a food fight over just word salads. You heard the representative there talking about this being xenophobia and racist and white nationalism. And that's honestly how the subcommittee hearing ended. It ended right after she threw out those slurs. They just couldn't get it together to actually have a conversation about this dire threat that is facing the everyday American, which is unfortunate, but it shows that our government is broken. No wonder our border is broken under Joe Biden. We're not a serious nation. We're not serious when this is a subcommittee hearing and this is how it devolves and ends.
It's so true. It's like that stupid cat fight they had the other day arguing about bodies and eyelashes. It just makes me want to bash
just
my head
bad.
Off the desk. Okay.
I know.
Brittany, by the way, you said you're stationed there. Are you in the Marines or something?
No, this is my beat. So San Diego is where I'm at, and I'm boots on the ground with just watching what's going on at our border. I've personally been to the border. I've been to the drop sites where they are dropping these military-aged men by the busloads, no pun intended. It is incredibly concerning what I am seeing firsthand, what citizen journalists are picking up firsthand and seeing. The picture that you're seeing right now, the video, is the selfie effect, where these guys get through our border and, you know, these ragged, desperate men then turn around and take selfies to send back home to show how weak America is.
There's just something inherently weak about a dude taking selfies anyway, but we won't get into that. Brittany, can you explain to us, those of us who aren't actually on the border, what do you mean by being dropped there? What's happening? We can't see it. What's happening?
That's such a good question. And it's super important because people will push back and say, oh, it's just San Diego. You voted for it in California. And I'm here to tell you, it is not staying in San Diego. It's not staying in California. Our best data shows that about 90% of the people that get through, these illegal foreigners, they bus out, they ship out, they get onto the San Diego International Airport. And I have videos upon videos where you can see them getting into lines at the San Diego International Airport with no ID. And they're basically given concierge service to the destination of their choice. So they're not staying in San Diego. The problem is California has, since 2018, had a policy in effect that makes us a sanctuary state, which means that wherever you're from, as soon as you make it across the border, you are scot-free. You are incredibly protected. And I can go more into that with you later or when you have me back on. But just what I have uncovered and how difficult it is for a journalist to even be able to find out if these criminals who are committing abhorrent crimes in San Diego are illegal or not, it's virtually impossible because they are so protected. So the sanctuary state policy in California allows these guys to come over, and then they basically become ghost illegal foreigners, where we have no way to track them or trace them or know where they're going or who they really are. I witnessed these drops at the IRIS Center in San Diego, where they get through the border. So you have 1,000 that get through the border. And then we have Border Patrol in these big buses come and pick them up, and they're street released. They're dropped, and there is no police presence. There's no law enforcement activity. So you have thousands of predominantly military-aged men being dropped by the busload into our San Diego street, and then they head to the airport. There are unofficial taxi shuttle services that are operated by Chinese nationals that are waiting for them to take them wherever they might go. And this is happening on a daily basis. And again, they're not staying in California. They're headed to a neighborhood near you.
Now, I don't want to do this later. I want you to tell me now. Tell me more about the sanctuary state stuff, because those of us who don't live in California don't really understand how bad it is. Please explain.
It's so bad, Jesse. So I'm just going to give you a snapshot of how concerning this policy is. So a few weeks ago, it made national headlines that there was an incident where a 22-year-old Mexican man was in an area where we have our military, and he broke into a home and he sexually assaulted a 5-year-old girl. Disappeared. And then the following day, there was bullos out for his arrest. We couldn't find him. He came back again with what looks like it was intent to continue the assault, and he was arrested on the street. I FOIA'd the San Diego Police Department twice with his name and with his date of birth to try to find proof that he is not an American citizen. He showed up in court at age 22 with a Spanish translator and pled not guilty. The word on the street is that he's a gotaway from Guatemala. I cannot prove it because San Diego police now twice has denied my FOIA request because that's protected information, because we live in a sanctuary state. So here's the problem. If I, as an investigative journalist, cannot prove that this guy who committed this crime, which by all accounts, he looks to be illegal, I cannot prove that, then how are we statistically counting the crimes that are occurring in California as being American or imported criminals that we're bringing in through our border? It's a huge, huge problem.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. Okay, I want to do a Jen Psaki, and I want to circle back to something you said about the Chinese nationalists operating? What?
Yeah, so when you show up to the IRIS drop site, which is a public transit center, first of all, it takes a lot to get me feeling uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable at the IRIS transit center. So you have thousands of illegal foreigners being bussed in, shuttled in, and then dropped on the street. They hang out, they're military-aged men, NGO operatives come and charge their cell phones, give them water, take them to the Ramada Inn or to the San Diego International Airport. But then there is a large constituency of Chinese men who wait for other unofficial Chinese men who act as a taxi service to come and pick up only Chinese nationals. And because we are a sanctuary state, we have no idea where they are taking them or why there's this collaborative effort, but that's what's happening.
God, jeez. Well, that's not alarming at all. All right, Brittany, I have to ask. Obviously, the subject of mass deportation is all over everybody's mouth right now because people on the right, anyone sane, is looking at what's happening and they realize we have to have it in order to save the country. I remember the American people and how compliant they were during COVID. I remember the op they ran against the Trump administration about the kids in cages stuff. And I have about that much faith that this country has an appetite for mass deportation. They may think they do. Sorry, I don't see it happening, but I am a cynic and a bad person. What say you?
Ugh, that's tough for me, Jesse, because I'm in your camp. I will say that being in San Diego, which, you know, liberal California, liberal San Diego, there is the tide is shifting, especially with the Ponga boats that we're seeing coming in. You know, I keep saying it's invasion by land, air, and sea. And you can call me a white nationalist for saying that, but that's what it is. It's invasion by land, air, and sea. And I think when the Ponga boats started hitting the sand at an alarming rate, and you've got little kids, you know, digging for seashells and sand crabs, and there are these cartel operated boats crashing in just feet away from little girls. And then these illegal foreigners are jumping off the boat, running through the sand into waiting SUVs. I think when people started seeing that, especially when the Ponga boats started landing in wealthy areas in San Diego, it started to overplay the hand of, oh, these poor asylum seekers, you know, it's so sad. I think people are starting to realize that there's more of a nefarious side to this, and it's going to begin to really affect our communities and our national security.
Gosh. Brittany, that was dynamite. You come back and see me anytime. Thank you. Well, the whole Chinese escorts, Chinese people being escorted by other Chinese people, kind of a little concerning when you think about an operation being run within our borders. Anyway, let's lighten the mood, shall we? Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And obviously, it doesn't lighten anyone's mood to focus on the fall of the American institution, Red Lobster. Obviously, I'm busted up about it. Everyone knows it's been my favorite since I was a child. I love the place. I can't help it. I'm white trash. But all is not lost. Did you think I was just going to quit? We don't quit here. We keep going. You see, I've got more than one tool in my white trash tool belt. I have been a Waffle House fan since the day I walked into Waffle House. I've eaten at Waffle Houses everywhere from Texas to Jackson, Mississippi, all across the country. I can't count how many states I've eaten at Waffle House in. And don't think it's just me. The late, great Anthony Bourdain, he hit up Waffle House.
It is indeed marvelous. An irony-free zone where everything is beautiful and nothing hurts. Where everybody, regardless of race, creed, color, or degree of inebriation, is welcomed. Its warm yellow glow, a beacon of hope and salvation, inviting the hungry, the lost, the seriously hammered all across the South to come inside, a place of safety and nourishment. It never closes. It is always, always faithful, always there for you.
Oh, the pecan waffle. You just crush it. You put every...
You just slather it.
I want it to be swimming in syrup and homogenized vegetable oil.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
See, you don't come here expecting the French Laundry. You come here expecting something amazing.
This is better than the French Laundry, no, man.
Indeed it is, Anthony. Indeed it is. And I should point out, I just took my boys there yesterday morning. We went out to breakfast. Three meals, two growing boys and me. We all had four meals. Three meals. You know what the check was? $25. I realize it's not chump change, but try to eat somewhere else in this society for $25. Feed three people for $25. Not too friggin' shabby, I shall say. Waffle House, I'll see you again soon. And I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.